Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chapter 2, Madhya Kanda. The Lord, Vishnuvar Mahaprabhu, has met all the Nadia Vaishnavas, Srivas Thakur and others, and they're very happy to see his transformation. Now he's closed his Sanskrit school. He started his Sankirtan movement. Vrindavan Das Thakur has given him the title Kirtan Nath. As Gopal Nath, he's called him Kirtan Nath. He's the Lord, Father, inaugurator of Sankirtan. So now it's beginning. And they're all so happy to see him. And then he's replying in a very humble way to all of the assembled Vaishnavas by saying, Tomasam sevile se Krishna bhakti pai eta bhali karu paye dhari se tani. Vishnubhar said to Srivas and all the other assembled Vaishnavas they met on the bank of the Ganga, I can have devotion to Krishna only by serving you. Saying this, the Lord caught hold of their feet. Paye, karo paye dari. So, this is a fact that we can only attain devotion by serving the feet of the Vaishnavas. Guru Parashraya. Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Diksha Adi Shikshanam. Beginning with Diksha, then Shiksha, then Seva. Guru Seva. Guru Seva. Shada Seva. Then Sadhavartmana Vartante. Following the path of the sadhus. So he's selling this. And then he's showing so much humility by holding the feet of the devotees. This is the Lord. The Lord doesn't mind taking any humble position, taking any humble service. And he sets his example time and time again. When he came as Krishna 5,000 years ago, he didn't say, oh, I'm a Kshatriya, I can't clean the toilets in the ashram. He didn't say anything like that. He said, oh, you need someone to drive your chariot? So I'll drive your chariot in Kurukshetra. So not only did Krishna drive the chariot, which is a Shudra's job, it's actually less than a Shudra. Driving a chariot is a Shudra's job. And Varnashram Dharma was very much prevalent, very much in vogue 5,000 years ago. But he said, but Krishna's attitude is an attitude of pure love. Where pure love is there, you can do anything for the beloved. This is the meaning of pure love. If you want to see the example of pure love, to have some idea what it is, find one mother and one baby. Find one mother, let's say, traditional mother. Not the modern type. But traditional Indian mother. Because from what I've seen, we can't say Western mothers because the ones I've seen in the last 50 years are not very good. But you find a traditional Indian mother and then you understand what is pure love. Because that mother will do any service for that baby. She won't think, oh, I can't do this. I'm a Brahmani. My husband's a Brahmin. And he's a Chaturvedi Brahmin. I'm also a Chaturvedi. I come from a high lineage. I'm not doing this. Call the maid. Maid, wipe the butt of my baby. No. The mother, even though she's a high class, this wiping baby butts is bungi business. Stool business is bungis. Bungis is shudras, less than shudras. Chama or bungi. They clean the gutters, they clean the stool. This is their seva. This is not, Brahmins don't do this. Kshatriyas don't do this. Vaishyas don't do this. Even shudras don't do. It's lower than that. But wiping the rear end of her baby, the Brahmani mata will happily do it. And she'll consider, oh, this stool is like chandan. And even especially when she's holding him on her breast and then he's drinking from one side and pooping on the other side. In goes the breast milk, out comes the poopy. And so one breast, there's milk falling down, dripping down from his mouth, it's falling out, and the other breast, his stool is going down. And then she doesn't, oh, you dirty thing, boom, throw him on the ground, crack his head open. Well, you know, I'm a Brahmani, don't you defile me like this, you dirty dog. No, she just keeps milking, offering her breast milk to him, and so much love. And then, but if you know, can you imagine asking some lady across the street or some unknown person has no relationship to do such? Oh, what is this? So, because the pure love of the mother, she doesn't think any service is beneath her, She doesn't think any service is too low to do. Nietzsche, what does he say? Nietzsche Seva. She doesn't think Muchi Seva. She'll do anything. So we see this example even in Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But when we join ISKCON, because we manage a temple for a few years, clean the toilets? What is this? I'm a Brahmin. I went to college. Oh, you went to college. You have a degree. I have a degree. I can't do this. I'm quit. I can't join this ISKCON. Don't you know it yet? I can do puja. I can study pot. I can study shastra. I can cook. But this ain't. Come on. I lose my caste. Oh, you think Krishna was worried? Was Bhagavan Sri Krishna? You believe in Krishna? Was Krishna worried about losing his caste when he drove the horses and they passed stool in his face? You know, because horses don't raise their hand and say, "Teacher, I had to go to the bathroom. May I have your permission?" Horses don't raise their hand when they have to go to the bathroom. When they want to go, they just... You have a good sense of humor. Yeah, horses don't raise their hands, they raise their tail. They raise their tail, and if you happen to be sitting next to them or behind them, you get full blast. So when you drive a chariot, you think you sit on top of the horse like a jockey in a race? You sit, when you're driving the chariot in the war, you're sitting on that piece of wood. There's a piece of wood going joining the chariot to the horses. That's where Krishna was sitting. In the painting, he's standing there like this with a, you know, holding this baton and this whip or something, and Arjuna's behind him. It's not the fact. Krishna, there's a thing, a piece of wood like this, right? And then there's a chariot. See this piece of wood? I don't know what his name for it. What do you call it? The yoke or something. And there's two horses, four horses, however mounted to that, right? And then there's this area where the guy shooting arrows is sitting. Krishna's sitting down there on top of that thing. He's sitting on that thing. And his head is exactly at the level of the rear end of the horses. He's not sitting on top of the horses. And Krishna's sitting there. And when they're running on the battlefield, and there's thousands of horses being killed and elephants, there's so much blood and mud and water and everything. And there's mud flying everywhere. You see a mundane jockey in a horse race. Have you ever seen on TV, they have these horse races. And the guy sits on top. Right? He's sitting on top. And he has goggles. And a little skinny guy, a jockey, right? And then they go around and they interview him after the race. "Well, you won the race, this, that." And he's sitting there and he's covered with mud. His whole body is yellow, green, purple, whatever, all these bright suits they have. He's all covered with mud from the feet of the horses. And he's sitting on top of the horse, right? What to speak of Krishna? So he's sitting down there covered with horse stool, covered with mud, because of his love for Arjuna. And it's one thing to do some Nietzsche seva, but if you did something like low seva, you were a very high person, you'd say, "Listen, you know, I cleaned your bathroom, but don't tell anybody about this." Like say someone is a kshatriya and you're his minister or whatever. And he comes to your house and your place is a mess, and he says, "Look, I'm just stuck here, I'm bedridden, my bathroom is all dirty, could you clean it?" He said, "Well, okay, because you're my friend, I'll clean up everything and make it nice, but don't tell anybody. You know, outside that I, Prime Minister, clean your toilet." So, "No, I won't tell you, but it's your love you do for me." So Krishna did this low service, and then afterwards he said, tell everybody in the world. Tell everybody in the world that I drove your chariot. My name is Partha Sarathi. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed that I sat behind your horses and got stool on my face. I'm not ashamed that I got mud on my face. I'm not ashamed." And you go to Madras, and then in Madras and Chennai, there's a famous temple of Partha Sarathi, and the deity has arrows in his body and some blood wounds because Krishna was getting some shots from Bhishma when he was attacking Bhishma for Arjuna. And then what about the Rajasuya ceremony, Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhisthira in Hastinapur? Then all the Kshatriyas were coming. And then the Pandavas, Yudhisthira was dividing duties. Who's going to oversee the food distribution, prasad distribution? Then Bhima, he said, "I'll do that." Because he's brikodar, he likes to eat. He says, "I'll do that." Who's going to see to the accommodation for the guests and Arjuna? And then someone had to wash the feet of the guests. Because in Vedic culture, whenever a guest would come, of course now we only see that some sannyasi or guru comes to someone's house or to a temple, then they wash his feet. But in traditional Vedic culture, when anyone would come to your house, his feet would be washed. For one thing, it was sanitary, because everyone's going in the dirty streets and whatnot. So it would keep your house from getting diseases. So the person's feet were washed at the gate. They leave their shoes or chapels, or they're walking bare feet. They would wash them, out of showing not only showing respect, but practical hygiene. It's hygienic. It's pure, clean. Water is purifying. So then, naturally, these kings are coming. It's not that they're big gurus or acharyas or GVCs or something, but they're just coming as the guests of Yudhisthira. So someone has to wash their feet. They're the guests. So who's going to do that? Krishna raises his hand. I'll do that. I'll wash their feet. So Krishna stood there and he washed everybody's feet, Duryodhana's feet, everyone's feet. He washed. So Krishna is willing to take such low service. Just see. So now we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he's come to this Gaudiya, this Vaishnav mood, he's holding on to the feet of the Vaishnavas and begging for their mercy. He's become so humble. Now he's, later on I said, this is the practice, this is the example, this is like we said, show and tell, right? This is the show. Then later on in Puri Leela, he'll tell. He'll give the principle. Now he's showing by his very life example, Radha Krishna Yuga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He's showing by his own example the verse that he spoke in Puri Leela and Gambira Leela. Srinada Pi Suni Chena, Tilari Vasahishna, Amanina Amani Dena Kirtaniya Sadari. He showed this utmost humility by holding onto their feet and then serving them. It's one thing to make a show of humility. Oh, Dandabhat Maharaj, Dandabhat! And you fall down at his feet and you put your head on his feet. Oh, he's so humble. He offered dandabhats to his guru. And he put his head on his guru's feet. He's really humble. Then he gets up next day, the guru calls, can you do some service? Oh, well, right about now, I'd be very busy. I can't do anything now. Maybe next time. So what is this humility? This doesn't mean anything. Words and expressions, you know, if you make some show of humility by dandabhats or say some words, oh, guru, you're my everything. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Actions speak louder than words. We say actions speak louder than words. So now Lord Chaitanya, he's holding onto the feet and he's saying humble words. Oh, I can only attain devotion by your mercy. So that's what disciples will say to a guru. Oh, Guruji, I can only by your mercy I'll attain devotion. Please give me your mercy. Please give me mercy. And we say, okay, clean the toilets. Oh, well, gee whiz. I got to go home right now. My wife's calling me. So then Lord Chaitanya goes on and Vrindavan Das Thakur describes Nin adaye vastra karo kariya jatane duti vastra tuli karo dena ta apane. Vishambar carefully wrung out the water from someone's wet cloth and he handed someone else's dhoti. So here, as we said, they were on the banks of the Ganga. He met everyone. And so he was going to take bath in the Ganga with his students, and he met these other devotees there. And he glorified them and begged for their mercy. And they were very happy to see him. So now he's on the bank of the Ganga. He's going, and some people have bathed, and they have their wet cloth. So he's personally wringing out their dhotis. He's wringing out their wet cloth while they're bathing or whatever, and drying. And then he's handing them their dry dhoti to put on. Daso smi. Das, 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 ano das. Kusha Ganga Mritika Kaharo Dena Kare Saji Wahe Konadina Chale Karogare. Vishambara collected kush grass and clay from the Ganga for someone. And sometimes he carried a basket of flowers home for someone else. So someone was doing some puja. So this kusha grass grows along the banks of rivers and they use it for puja and clay for tilak or whatever. So Mahaprabhu was doing Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva, Jivadoya, Namruchi. So he's walking his talk. Garunga Mahaprabhu is walking his talk. He's talking, be humble. How humble? Be more humble than a blade of grass. Serve the Vaishnavas. He's telling this. That's his talk. And this is his walk. Precept and example. So he's speaking and he's acting. Sakala Vaishnavagan Haya Haya Kare Kikara Kikara Tavukari Vishambari Kikara Kikara Hi 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 Hi. People say now. Although all the Vaishnavas fervently requested him to refrain from such activities, they were saying, "What are you doing? Kikorbo! Kikorbo! What are you doing, Kikaro? Kya kya kare?" Vishwambara continued to serve them. "No, no, it's my pleasure. No, you're a sannyasi, you shouldn't serve. I mean, devotees come here, I'm trying to serve for stuff. Oh, Maharaj, you're the sannyasi. You're the bogey. You're supposed to enjoy. You're not supposed to serve. Acha. I can't serve. No, no. You sit down and you eat and eat and eat. And we'll serve you until you blow up. And then you go to sleep. Sleep, sleep. And we'll rub your feet and you sleep nicely. Then you get up and eat some more. Because you're a bogey." No, I can't serve the devotees. Like someone, they had their wet clothes and I got their wet clothes in a line and I folded, you know, they're dry and I folded. "Oh, why'd you do that? Oh, you made an aparad. You made me make aparad. You gave me my clothes." I said, "Really? Doing Vaishnava Seva is aparad. I never read." "No, no, but you're the guru, you're the sannyasi." I said, "Really? I hope I never become that kind of whatever you're talking about." Chinada pi suni china. This is a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is everyone's motto. This is everyone's life and breath. Designations are only, these are functional designations just to organize something or to convey some knowledge. But the basic operating principle is daso smi. This is the basic operating principle for every member of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Das, 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 ano das. Doesn't matter, you may have some functional designation for the purposes of preaching or managing something, but this is only external. E mata pratidina prabhu vishrambhar apana dasarahaya apane kinkar kon karma sevakera prabhu nahi kari sevakera lagi nija dharma parihare. In this way, Vishrambhar daily acted as a servant of his own servants. So, Vishwambara, everyone's a servant of God. They're all his devotees. They're all his nityaparikars. Nityaparishas are eternal associates, eternal worshippers, eternal devotees. And he's relishing and enjoying serving them. Pratidin, every day, pratidin, day after day after day after day. Not, "Oh, let me be cool one day. Let me show how cool I am one day. Hey, it's a Mayapur festival. There's a lot of devotees looking. I'm going to show how humble I am. I am going to serve prasadam. Everyone please watch. Oh, Guruji, Sannyasi Baba, he's serving prasad. Did you see? Yes, he made a good show. But what about the other 364 days? Hey Baba, where's my food? Hey Baba, shine my shoes." Pratidin. Emata pratidin prabhu vishwambar apana dasarahaya apane kinkar. Kinkar bhav, I am a servant. I nanda tanuja. Kinkara. Kinkara kinkari. He daily acted as a servant of his own servants. What service is there that the Lord will not do for his devotees? This is it. Karma sevakara. Prabhu nahikari. Sevakara lagi nija dharma parihari. The Lord gives up his own position for the sake of his servants. I already explained that about Krishna and Krishna Leela. For the love of Arjuna, for the love of Yudhisthira. As he had such love for Yudhisthira, he would become a foot washer. He had such love for Arjuna, he would become a chariot driver. But how much love do we have for Krishna? How much love do we have for Krishna? How much love do we have for that Krishna? How much love do we have for that Lord Gauranga to do every service and any service for his happiness and pleasure? We're so conditional. We are conditioned souls. Because we're conditioned souls, we put so many conditions on everything we do. Even if we decide to be very gracious and charitable and do some service. Oh yes, I've decided, Krishna, that I will serve you. Wow, that's great. But there are some conditions. First of all, I need a room in the guest house. Acha, acha, tika. Okay, second of all, I need food. You have to feed me three times a day, and nicely also. Acha. And moreover, I need a little money because, you know, I have to buy new clothes once in a while. Acha. And if you meet all these conditions, because I'm a conditioned soul, then I will serve you. Otherwise, forget it, Krishna, I'm not going to serve you. So this is very interesting, service mentality. Service come business. It's called Seva come Agrawal Bhav. Seva come Agrawal Bhav. This is business, not devotion. Yes, I've come to Vrindavan to serve Krishna. Let me meet the temple president. Yes, I've come here to serve Krishna. Okay, very good, serve. No, but I need a room, I need money, I need food. Acha, you're going to cost more than your service, Baba. I can hire some Brijvasi guy, pay him 20 rupees a day to make 10 garlands. But if I have you here making 10 garlands, it costs me 200 rupees a day. The guest house room, the electricity, the water, the sari, the boga, it costs me 200 rupees a day to get my 10 garland save out of you. So what save are you doing, my dear? Oh, gee, I never thought of it that way. This is the fact. Most people nowadays, they come and they do bog in the name of seva. This is the point. So many conditions. Prabhupada used to joke, like one time in New York, the devotees were complaining. He said, Prabhupada, you know, these women are maya. You know, they had a couple of women in the temple. We should get these women out of the temple, just be brahmacharis. And Prabhupada said, oh, really? Only brahmacharis. Then everything will go better. Said, yes, Prabhupada, then we can just fix our mind on Krishna and we can do good seva. And Prabhupada said, really? But this, what I can understand is, if these ladies are driven out of the temple, then you'll also all leave the temple. Because there's so many conditions on your seva. One is that there's some ladies in the temple. Otherwise, I'm out of here. So this is the situation. Or I remember that I can all clearly remember in some temples when the going got really tough and the money was less and the prasadam got really austere, all of a sudden the members of the temple started diminishing. I remember Brahmacharya used to talk in the ashram, hey, it's getting really austere around here. Yeah, well, I heard in New York temple they have really nice prasadam. Really, what do they have? Oh, and breakfast they have like this. Acha? And lunch they have like this. Wow. Sounds pretty good. Then, how do we get out of here? And then everyone make plans to kind of slip out here and there. So the boys like slip away to another temple where the prasadam was good. Because you have to do the same seva anywhere. You have to distribute books, go on kirtan, cut the vegetables. But here we're doing all the same stuff and it's like all we're getting is oat water and a little rice once in a while. So in this way, devotees were moving on here and there in pursuance of the better life in another temple. And temple presidents that wanted to really make their temple big, they knew the formula that if you have really nice prasadam, everybody will come. So, because we ran a temple for 4 years. So we knew that. So we didn't do any preaching or advertising anywhere. We just made sure it was really nice prasadam. Devotees were always showing up at the door. And then temple presidents were always showing up on the telephone. Is so-and-so there? Could be. Because he didn't want to give him back to the other temple. It was always a big problem. So we shouldn't be conditional. The Lord, let's see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example he's giving. There's no service too difficult for him to do. Sakala Sarita Krishna Sarva Shastra Kahe Heteke Krishna Rakeha Dvesho Peksha Nahi. All the scriptures declare Krishna is the friend of all. Sakala Surit Sabha Sab Surit Krishna. Therefore, no one is hated or neglected by Krishna. Lots of nice purports here. You can read. Taho parihare Krishna bhaktira karan taro shakshi duryodhan vamshira maran. Yet Krishna gives up this quality for the sake of his devotee. The annihilation of Duryodhan's family is proof of this. Because the whole thing is, basically the previous verse was saying that Krishna is equal to everyone, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Samaham dvesha, not priya. He said, I'm not envious of anyone, I'm equal to everyone. So that is God's quality. He's equal to everyone. He gives everyone food, water, light, maintenance, digests everyone's food. So, but because he's a person, he also has his individuality. So if someone approaches him with love and with submission, then it melts his heart. It captures his attention. So he's equal to everyone. He gives everyone food, everyone shelter, everyone protection. Fulfills everyone's desires. Whatever you want, he gives. You want to be demoniac? Okay, I'll help you be demoniac. You want to go against me? Okay, I'll give you all the intelligence to go against me. He doesn't discriminate. But it's also an ornament of God. It's also a bhushan that he discriminates. He doesn't discriminate. He's equal to everyone. But if someone loves him, then that's also his characteristic. He has a characteristic to reciprocate with love. So if you love him, then he reciprocates. So that's what he's saying here. Next verse is, yes, he's like this, he's equal to everyone. It's not that Krishna only gives food to devotees and lets demons starve. He only gives sunlight to devotees and lets the demons get no sunlight. He only gives water to devotees. No. He only fulfills desires of devotees. He fulfills desires of demons. He's equal to everyone. You want to be a demon, a really big demon? Then, okay, I'll give you the intelligence. God gives the intelligence to be a big demon. So it's all, he's equal. But this is his nature. Krishnera karaya seva bhaktira sabhav bhaktalagi krishnera sakala anubhav. It's the nature of devotees to serve Krishna, and whatever Krishna does is for the sake of his devotees. His anubhav. Anubhav means expressions. Anubhav means the outward or the expressions which the outward expressions which follow the bhav in the heart, the anubhav. The love moves in a certain way. It's the how love is expressed. Love is residing in the heart. It's a feeling, it's an emotion. It's an attitude. It's a feeling. So when it expresses itself, then it's called anubhav, different expressions. All the endeavors and pastimes of Krishna are only manifested for the pleasure of his devotees. Krishna exists for the pleasure of his devotees, and we exist for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the dynamism of spiritual love. It sounds great. And we're aspiring for that level of realization, that level of activity. And we've tried for many lifetimes to come to that level of pure bhakti. But the Lord is always functioning on that level because he's never in maya. He's never conditioned. He's loving us at every moment and traveling with us wherever we go and continuing to serve us and love us at every moment, in every form, in every body, at every time. Krishnera vichete pare bhakta bhakti ras. Tarashakshi Satyabhama Dwaraka Nivas. Devotees who are absorbed in devotional mellows can sell Krishna. That's an interesting phrase. The evidence of this is Satyabhama in Dwaraka. I think he means by sell, he means control. Krishna is not for sale. Krishnera Vichitte Pare Bhakta Bhakti Ras. Tarasakshi Satyabhama Dwaraka Nivas. In other words, and the pastime is here. This is in Harivamsh, also in Bhagavat. In other words, Siddhanta Saraswati's purport, he says, the bhakti ras, that flavor of bhakti, is so intoxicating that Krishna dances to the tune of the devotees. Krishna becomes controlled by the devotees. Just like if you drink a bottle of whiskey, then you start dancing around. Sometimes. And what's making you dance? It's the influence, it's the intoxication. It's the influence of the whiskey. It's broken all your barriers, especially women. They're usually kind of, uptight in many ways. So they give them a bottle of whiskey, then they loosen up. And they start jumping all around and saying things they would never say and abandoning all their shyness and doing stupid things. Our men also, obviously. So this is the effect of the ras, the whiskey ras. But bhakti ras intoxicates Krishna. Bhakti ras intoxicates Krishna. When he drinks that bhakti ras, that seva, that love of the devotees, then he moves in unbelievable ways. Oh, Lala, if you dance, if we'll clap our hands and we'll sing a song, and if you dance for us, we'll give you a ladu. So the gopis of Braj, they say like this. And then he looks up. A ladu? Nice. I do one of these Indian things, you know, like this, you know. So then, and he starts singing, right? So then Krishna's dancing. Why is he dancing? Is he dancing because of the song? Is he dancing because of the clapping of the hands? Is he dancing because of the prospect of eating a laddu? Yes, on one level. But yes, it's actually, that's also true. Because it's Naralila. And boys, babies like laddus, and everybody likes laddus. Big babies or little babies. But he's dancing, at least the acharyas take it in this regard, he's dancing because of the love. Because of the love, he's relishing the bhakti ras, and the ras is moving him. The bhakti ras, he becomes intoxicated, and he dances under that intoxication of the bhakti ras of these ladies of Braj, these gopis. So in the same way, this it says that through their loving service, devotees are able to control and sell Krishna. Again, he repeats the word. And Harivamsa says that Satyabhama, who is placed a garland on Krishna's neck, and she tied him to a parijat tree. After taking Krishna's permission, she then sold him to Narad. I haven't read this. I have some volumes of this. This is in Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva. Apparently, this is one Leela. Of course, we know from Bhagavatam that Satyabhama, she was a little miffed because of the marriage of Rukmini. This Narada Muni brought a gift. He bought a gift from Indraloka. He bought a parijat flower. And it's a very special celestial flower that smells, never stops smelling. It's always fragrant. Never fades. So then he brought this and gave it as a wedding gift to Rukmini. So she was very proud of her possession, of her jewelry or whatever, flower, non-fading flower. And then later, Satyabhama was married to Dwarkadish. And she knew very much about this parijat flower, and she knew everything about it. And because women are always quite particular about what other women have. They know what jewelry they have, and they know what they don't have. they take accounts on one another. They keep accounts. It's one of their pastimes, keeping accounts. Dress account and jewelry account. Oh, so-and-so is wearing this. And you can see if you sit as a non-partial observer, as we often did this in college, and sitting in the cafeteria, we used to sit by ourselves and watch people. We learned a lot. So you see some lady sitting at a table, and she's sitting there. And as soon as some other lady walks in the cafeteria, that other lady looks at her, and she looks at her hair, her face, her ears. Down she goes from her face. It's kind of like Rupa Chintamani. Vishnu Chakravarti explains how to meditate on the forms of Radha and Krishna. Start with their face and go to their feet and go back up again. So she goes, she looks at the face and the hair and down to the feet, then up again into the pocketbook. And then she writes in her mental account, you know, everything about that lady's dress, and it's good or bad. And then she's eating, and another lady walks in, or two ladies. And again, and I've observed this hundreds of times. And I mean, men, that's one thing, and I observe men also, and they pretty much don't pay too much attention. Of course, nowadays there's kind of different kind of men out there, but you know, weird guys looking at other guys. But in those days, it wasn't so prevalent. So they don't do this. So Satyabhama knew everything about Rukmini's flower. So she was thinking, oh, if my husband ever goes to Indraloka, I'm going to go with him, and I'm going to ask a favor. So one day, Indra invited Dwarkadish to come for lunch in Indraloka. So then usually you go with your wife when you go on a lunch engagement. Or rather, he was going alone, actually. Then Krishna said, I'm going to Indraloka. And then Satyabhama said, oh, Indraloka, that's where the parijat flowers come from. Oh, can I come with you? Can I come with you? And he said, oh, okay, you know, all right. Because what had happened once that Krishna was in some hot water with Satyabhama, she was unhappy. She says, you know, you don't care for me, you don't love me, you gave Rukmini, you know, Rukmini got this parijat flower, but I never got it, and, you know, what is this, you know? A typical type thing. So then at that time, to get himself out of hot water, then Dwarkadish said, look, don't worry, I'll give you a whole tree someday, don't worry about it, just relax. I'll give you a whole tree of parijat. So then she didn't forget that. So many years went by, and then Krishna went to Indraloka, and she, oh, Indraloka, parijat. Can I come to Indraloka? Can I come with you? No, I want to go by myself. No, please let me come. Oh, but women are so much trouble, you know, I don't, you know, I want to travel by myself. So she implored him, so then he said, okay, come. So then they went. Then they went there and they had lunch and there was a big yagya there and Krishna was worshipped and everything was going on. And then they were leaving. And on the way out, there's some gardens on the beside the main entrance to Indra's palace. And in those gardens, there's some parijat trees. And then Satyabhama, she saw one of those trees and said, oh, there's a tree. And they were just leaving. They already left. The party was over and everything. They were leaving. She said, stop, wait a second. Remember, you promised to give me a parijat tree? Yes. Well, see over there? If I'm not mistaken, that's a parijat tree. Get me that tree. Oh, no. Oh, my God. What to do now? No, can I? Maybe next time. Not now. I'll come back here again. I'll get it next time. No, next time. Right now. Okay, well, let's go. So they went over there and Krishna ripped up the tree, put it on the chariot. Then the Mali, the guy, the gardener, he immediately got on his mobile and he called Indra. He said, Indra, Krishna, your house guest, he's ripping off your parijat tree. He's stealing your parijat tree from your treasured garden here. What? And Indra called the army and called it. And they got on their horses. And 10 minutes ago, he's feeding Krishna, worshipping him with chandan and everything, putting on his forehead, offering a garland. What? My parijat tree. Get the horses. Get the cavalry. And they jumped up. Da-da-da, they started shooting arrows. You rascal, why did you steal my tree? So you can see in the material world, friends can become enemies in 1 second. Over the most insignificant, trifling thing. Just a stupid tree. Now, he's your dinner guest and your honored guest, the guest of honor. And next minute, you're trying to shoot his head off. And he's stealing one little lousy tree and he had so many other trees. So then Krishna said, okay, Satyabhama, you drive. And hold up, keep one arm on this tree and drive the chariot with your other hand. So at that time, Satyabhama manifested forearms because she also has forearms. And then Krishna manifested forearms because it would be useful at a time like this. Because if you're fighting with two arms, because Indra only has two arms, so Bhagavan has four. So at this time, he manifested four so he could use two bows. Because two bows are better than one. So then, and then he defeated everybody and got back to Dwarka and planted that tree. So apparently in Harivamsa there's some pastime where there's a Damodar Leela in Dwarka apparently. That's what's interesting. Krishna's always getting tied up. Here in Braj, Krishna's getting tied up by Latas and by Madhavi Latas. He gets tied in Nikunj by Radharani when he's late for Abhisara. So that's why he gets the name Damodar. We worship Radha Damodar in Kartik because Radharani ties him up when he comes late, comes in the morning. And then she's a Vasika Sajika. Vasika Sajika means a heroine who waits for her beloved. And the Vasi waits in the kunj and then he doesn't show up until sunrise and he has the marks of another meeting another on his body. So when that happened, then Radharani and the gopis, they grabbed all the Madhavi Latas and pulled them off the trees because they're wrapped around the tamal trees and kadamba trees. And they took the Madhavi Latas and they said, listen, you rascal. And they all ganged up on Krishna. And then what can you do? Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavidya, Sudevi, Chitra. And they just tied him, just bound him up, you know, gagging the mouth. They just tied him to the kadamba tree with these Latas and said, listen, you have to promise. That's actually the Damodar that we worship. Gaudiyas worship this Damodar in Madhurya Leela, being bound by Radharani to the Kadamba tree in the Kunj. This is described in Bhavishyotura Upanishad. There's some story about this. Or maybe Brahmavivart Puran. I saw the description, I saw the footnote, but I can't. One of these two Purans. So Krishna is tied up. So apparently in this Leela, it says that because Siddhanta Saraswati is citing Hari Vamsha, which is also written by Vyasadeva, she took a garland, she placed a garland on Krishna's neck, and she tied him to a parijat tree. And then she took Krishna's permission and sold him to Narada.
And no ornament was sufficient. So the tool is writing Krishna's name. So she proved that she was famous.
Acha-cha. So how did it get to the weighing part? Now Satyabhama has sold. Okay. Satyabhama is selling Krishna to Narad.
And he slaves to Narad. He's massaging his back, and Narad is making him carry water for him and wood for making
work. So he actually engaged as the slave of Narad. And so Satyabhama was very proud. Look, see, I've made this Krishna a slave of Narad. That same, because why Narad? Because that same Narad bought a parijat flower to Rukmini, and because Narad is the one that made Rukmini more famous than me. Because she was the first queen, and I was the second, and not only that's her first distinguishing quality, and the second distinguishing quality is she had a parijat flower that never fades, and I didn't. So maybe this came before, but no, she says she tied him to a parijat tree. So first she got a whole tree of parijats. Now she established her supremacy. Now to make it one more, she's going to use Narada, that same Narada, which made her subordinate. The same Narada that put her into subordination to Rukmini. She's going to use that same Narada and make herself supreme to Rukmini by selling Krishna to that Narada and making Krishna a slave to that Narada. This is the logic that Satyabhama is using. All the queens were missing Krishna because they couldn't serve him because he was busy serving Narada. So they told Narada, they said, look, we want to buy Krishna back. Slaves are purchased. So Satyabhama purchased by some kind of trick or whatever, she sold him. I don't know what she got from Narada, but she sold, maybe free, whatever. She sold Krishna to Narada, right? So now, slaves, you buy slaves with money or somehow you buy them. So now the queens got together and said, look, we want to buy back our slave. I mean, buy back our Krishna. Excuse me, Freudian slip. Because most husbands feel like slaves of their wives and wives feel like slaves of their husbands. One way or the other. Somebody's got to be a slave. So then all the queens got together and they said, listen, let's buy back Krishna. So then Narada said, okay, let's put him on a scale and then you put all your jewelry there and then I'll take that jewelry as payment and you can have your Krishna back. So then they bought in a scale and Krishna sat on one side of the scale like these Indian vegetable scales. And then Sasabji scales. And he sat on one side and then they started piling their jewelry. So everybody put all their jewelry, but it wasn't tipping the scales. And then they cleared off all that stuff and Rukmini said, I'll put my jewelry on the scale. Step aside, Satyabhama.
No, she just put the jewelry and she wrote Krishna was 10 grams. She didn't take her. She was the only one who didn't give her jewelry.
She didn't give any jewelry. Well, that she was smart. She said, I'm not going to waste my jewelry on this slave. This slave, I know the Bhagavad Gita because this slave can be purchased patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti priyachati tadham bhakti pariyatam ashrami priyatatma. Why should I waste diamond necklace and I can buy him for a patram? It has to be a special patram and it has to be offered with devotion. That proves that one tulsi leaf offered with devotion is more valuable than thousands of kilos of diamonds. So Rukmini, she tipped the scale by taking a tulsi leaf and writing Dwarkadish's name on it. Mm-hmm. All glories to the Harivansha Purana and the knowers of the Harivansha Purana. So that's a good one, huh? So this is a little bit, what I take from it, from what I see in this purport, is that the Krishna is always celebrating his Damodar Leela. There's Damodar Leela in Braj, then he goes on to Mathura. There must be some Leela when he goes to Mathura where he gets tied up also. And then he goes to Dwarka and he gets tied up by Satyabhama. So this Damodar Leela is going on everywhere. And it can go on with us also. If we chant Shudanam, we can tie Krishna in our heart. And this is what it's all about. If we tie Krishna in our heart, then he'll tie us in his heart. And that's what he told Durvasa Muni when he came. Saranam Ridyam Mayam, Saranam Ridyatvaham. He said, I am always in the heart of the devotees, and devotees are always in my heart, bound and tied by the bond of love. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the same person who wrote Harivamsa Puran, is the same person who wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when Vrindavan Das Thakur is writing Chaitanya Bhagavat, then he's remembering, oh yeah, this reminds me of my other book I wrote, Harivamsa Purana, and another Leela. So this is just a comment about how Krishna's purchased by his devotees. The devotee can sell Krishna, which means that they can control Krishna because he's like by their love. And that's what was happening with Gauranga. They were controlling him. The devotees loved him, so he washed their clothes. And he wrung out their clothes, and he collected tilak from the banks of the Ganga. And he collected kusa grass to help them with their puja, or put on their tilak. And then he, just like Krishna, would become the foot washer and chariot driver. So this is the power of love. Love moves everyone, even God. God is moved by love. So we'll stop there. Madharam Samapayat.